On the Shach, this is Shir number 4, Pasakom, Shach, Sifkatan Yod Ches, and Simon Kuf Yod Beis. So, the Shach writes that you should only treat something as bread, as a kula, as we said, that generally speaking, if you have something that could possibly be seen as shlakos or as pas, so treating it as pas will be a kula, and so far as there's a heter of pas palter, and there's no heter of bishul palter. So if we could define something as pas, it's a kula. So the Pshach says we should only define it as pas if it's A, blila ava, a thick dough, and B, it has toar lechem, it has the appearance of bread. Blila ava means that some baked goods are baked with a batter, like cakes have batters that are poured, and some, like bread or other types of cakes, are a blila ava that holds its shape and the like. So for it to be considered bread, it has to be, and therefore subject to the leniencies of Pasakum, it has to have two conditions. Number one, blila ava, thick dough, and two, toar lechem. And it sounds like if it lacks these two conditions, it is not considered bread. Obviously, we're talking about a case where it's baked. This is a few. So let's say you hold like this. So Entenmann's cake, which is blila ava, blila raka. So that would be subject to the chumras of bishul akum. Now, I don't know if Entenmann's cake is olal shulchan malachim, but let's imagine that it is. So then it would be usher. And unless it was Bishul Yisrael, I don't think it is. So according to the Shach, Entenmann's cake is usher be'achila. Assuming it's, again, olal shulchan malachim. Again, we'll talk about next siman, whether or not it should be considered olal shulchan malachim. How practical do you need to be? Do you go b'asher demin or not? We'll get there. The problem with this Chiddush of the Shach is that it contradicts what we generally assume and what the Shach himself assumes with respect to other halachos of pas. The halachos of what's considered a pas or not comes up in a number of categories, issues. One is Hilchos Brachos. Another one is Hilchos Chala. There's a famous machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban about Blila Ava versus or Afiyah's defining something as bread, but it goes against the way we paskin, and it also goes against the way the Shach paskins. If you look at the Shach in Hilchos Chala, Simin Shin Chaf Tes, Sif Katan Beis, the Shach paskins, like Rabbeinu Tam, that if you bake something, it has the shame lachem, even if it's made from Belila Raka. So, if you made enough cake, even though cake's from batter, it's Belila Raka, you would have to be Mafrish Chala. And therefore, it makes sense that it would also have the dinim of Pasakum. And likewise, in terms of Hilchos Brachos, that's where we paskin, and Or HaChaim, Simin Kuf Samachesif Yud Gimel, the Mechaber says that we should be machmir for both shitos. And this question on the Shach is asked by, among others, the Avnei Nezer, Yoredeya Simin Sadi Dalad Os Gimel. And therefore, there are many poskim that reject this Shach. If you want to take a look at who they are, look at Chalkas Binyamin Sif Katan Samach Dalad, and they hold, no, basically anything that's baked, whether it's a soft batter, a blila raka, or a blila ava, will have the din of pas, and the leniencies, and occasional stringencies, of pas. So, that's fine, lahalacha, perhaps, but how do we explain the Shach? So Rabbi Simon has an article on this in Beis Yitzchak, Simen Tafshin Samach. No way. And he says that you have to say that the Shach held that this is a din dafka by pas. We don't follow the regular rules. And the idea is that they were only gozer on pas that's pas chashav. And it's only in pas chashav that there's a chash chasnas. Now that's not the same as the Avnei Nezer. It's not saying that we need olel shulchan malachim for pas, as we noted. That's an opinion we generally don't accept. But perhaps still there's a level of chashivas. Kain, what we said in Sif Aleph, when the Rishonim said that bean bread, even if perhaps it might be considered pas in some respects, it's not chashav pas for dinim elu. That's a smaller chiddush to swallow than this, but perhaps that's the view of the Shach. So therefore, even, for example, going back to our discussion yesterday, even Lefi Rabbi Yechiel mi Paris, still lo gazru iser pas akum, only on pas chashav, and therefore to be pas chashav it would need these two conditions. And apparently, again, I don't know if this anything that's made from belila raka is not considered pas chashav, even if you would make a hamotzi were you to be koveya su'uda alav. So you could have, in a certain sense, a tarti desastri. You could make hamotzi on something, and still it would not be considered halachically pas. Now, we saw yesterday there are certainly some Rishonim who hold that way, but we don't accept that opinion, but right, because we paskin like the Rimi Paris, not like the Shari Dura. But still, even here, that would be the pshat. So, to say it a little differently, yesterday we said the pshat in Arkula, that we say cake and cookies are pas, is because you would say hamotzi if you're koveya su'uda. No, that is not going to be the siba, according to the Shach, because the Shach agrees, halach lamaisa on cake, that you would say hamotzi if you're koveya su'uda alav, and still he says it's not nidon kipas. Rather, it's usually a simen that it's chashuv. Hamotzi is usually a simen, but in a case of blila raka, it's not a simen because this type of bread is inherently a not chashuv, and memela it's excluded from pas, and therefore, by definition, it's going to have to be bechlal shlakos. So, as I said, this could lead to a big chumrah at least the rest of the year. Though it would be a kula during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in things like, he said, Entenmann's cake, if we were to assume that that it's Olal Shulchan Malachim. Now, what about donuts? So I would have said donuts are pashut, because donuts are not baked, they're cooked. They're deep-fried, but deep-fried is basically the same as cooking. Mali if you cook in water, mali if you cook in oil. And therefore, I would have thought that in these cases, it should not be considered bread. However, not everybody agrees to that. If you look at, therefore, what would be the halacha for donuts is actually, they would be bechlal shlakos. They're actually cooked, shlakos, bishel. So they're shlakos, and therefore, if they were ola al shulchan malachim, then there would be a big problem with bishel akum. Right? For example, Dunkin' Donuts. So, Dunkin' Donuts are not Bishul Yisrael. So, what are they relying on? So, presumably they're relying on the fact that they're Einam Olam Al Shulchan Malachim. When you go to Dunkin' Donuts, I don't think that the Mashkiach is back there turning on the fire. So that's what they're relying on. And the question is it really true? We'll have to talk about it.
They don't make the donuts in this Dunkin' Donuts.
Are they edible when they're shipped in? They're like already a donut.
They get shipped out every single day from the same factory.
And then, but they don't fry them here. They're like not fresh donuts.
They're not fried here.
So what?
Sure. It could be.
Get a shipment in the morning, and when you buy the donuts at night, they were made 12 hours ago.
That is my impression.
And they just try to pretend that they're fresh.
That is my impression.
Wow, who would have guessed? Okay.
That's the reason why the whole Heckscher thing was a little easier, because the same factory is...
I heard that. I didn't realize ad kedei kach. I thought they got something that was sort of not cooked, and then they they just put it through a machine here, and that made it. I didn't realize that they mamish...
Even if they get
boxes of donuts and take them out and put them in.
Even if that's true, they probably don't have a deep... they probably don't deep fry the donuts in there. If they get something that's unfinished, they might... Bake it somehow.
Okay, well, we need to be mevarer in terms of Dunkin' Donuts, Lamaisa, how they are. And then, if we're right, if we decided that donuts were Ola al Shulchan Malachim, then there would be a need for Bishul Yisrael. However, if you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Lamed Aleph, and Simon Kof Yud Beis Sif Lamed Aleph, he writes that Isa Ava Shenitgan B'Shemen, which is a donut, more or less, so it has the status of Pas, and therefore it's Mutter B'Pas Palter. So even if you went to a Dunkin' Donuts store that made fresh donuts, it would be Mutter according to the Pri Chadash. Not for you, but for everybody else. Okay, so now the question is, what is this based off of? So if you look at the Pri Chadash, it's at the end of Sif Katan Yud Zayin, he says this is based off of a Rivash. So if you look at the Rivash, Simen Chafchas, he says that's because we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that Isa Shenitgan has the din of Pas Gamor. Rabbeinu Tam's view, among other places, is cited in Psachim Lamed Zayin and Beis Diva Maschel Dekulei.
Where is Rivash?
Rivash, Simen Chafchas. So if so, then this whole din falls apart, because we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Legabe, take a look at Or Chaim Simen Kuf Samaches Sif Yud Gimel Hilchos Chala Yoredeya Simen Shin Chaf Tes We're Machriya the Mechaber's Machriya Gdolok Rabbeinu Tam. So how in the world? So L'chora, this Aruch HaShulchan doesn't make much sense at all. The Aruch HaShulchan is basing himself on a Rivash that's Lo Alibet Hilchosa. So Rabbi Belsky suggested that the Aruch HaShulchan must be assuming the following. This is, if you want to see it inside, it's in OU document A105. The OU Kashrus organization has thousands of tshuvos, primarily by Rav Schechter and Rav Belsky, who are the primary poskim for the OU. And on basically relating to all their questions that come up, they have hundreds on Bishul Akum, as well, which we'll be referring to and discussing, and anybody who wants them should speak to me. Anyhow, the Rav Belsky suggests that you have to say that really midei sveika lo nafka, and it's true we paskin de lo karbeinu tam in brachos. That's because we're mekel for brachos, so you don't have to bench. Even if you were a Kovea Sudan Dunkin' Donuts and you were still alive after having that many donuts and able to bench. So, and likewise, Linyan Chalas Chutz La'aretz or Chalam Isman Hazeh, we're also Mekel Misafek. And therefore, at least the Aruch HaShulchan maintains that for Vasakum and Bishalakum, which is also a Din D'Rabban, and we could be Mekel the other direction. And it's not a problem to basically be paskening a tarti de sasri, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. It's a suffix, so in each and every case, we'll follow the klalei hora that are relevant to that particular tchum in halacha, and therefore, we're going to be mekel for brachos, mekel for chala, mekel for pasakum, mekel for bishakum. We'll accept Rabbeinu Tam's kulos and not his chumros. Basically. Now, whether it is okay to do that in general, halacha, does halacha have to be consistent, or can you switch it off in each tchum? So I have a Beis Yitzchak article on that a couple of years ago. I didn't have this particular example, but this is in fact a machlokas rishonim, and a machlokas achronim, maybe a machlokas tanayim, and machlokas amorayim, but anyway, it's an interesting question. Yes? It could be a tarti de sasri bevas achas mamish. Indeed. I mean, it's only bas achas in the sense that they just happen to override in the same case. In other words, you're right, it is bevas achas, but it's not as much of an inherent bevas achas. No, well, let's say the mincha maariv question, but yes, oftentimes, yes. Correct. Absolutely. That is a good hara. Halacha l'maisa, having explained what this Aruch HaShulchan holds, would we actually accept it? So Rav Belsky thought that you could be mekel on donuts, but for a different reason, not the Aruch HaShulchan's. Aruch HaShulchan's reading, but because donuts are Eino Ola Shulchan Malachim. Now the problem is, apparently, I haven't seen this for a while, but there was a time that donuts at weddings were a fad of sorts, and they had them. But they didn't have regular-sized donuts. They had mini donuts. They were seemingly like regular donuts, but a smaller version. They might have been a little bit different. If you look at that OU document, you'll see that there might have been some differences. We'll ignore that for the moment. But I'll just mention this interesting discussion back and forth between Rav Belsky and Rav Schechter, that this really primarily relates to the Sugya Bishalakov, but since hopefully you're starting that shortly, this will give you a hakdama to some of the issues. So Rav Belsky said, Eino alocha al shochan malachim. So Rav Schechter said, aye, but they serve them at chasanas. So then Rav Schechter said, so maybe you'll tell me there are two different types of donuts. There's the small donuts, which are ol al shochan malachim. We assume generally that if you serve something at a chasana, it's ol al shochan malachim. So, and again, we'll discuss that when we get there. And big donuts, which are eino ol al shochan malachim. So Dunkin' Donuts should still be safe, because the types of donuts that they have at Dunkin' Donuts, they would never serve at a chasana. But Rav Schechter said, no. L'chora ha-hevdel shebein ha-gdolim ha-ktanim b'zeh eino kol kach gadol ad shenemar sheshnei minim nifradim hein. It's the same donut, big, small. What are you going to say? One is ola. Donuts are donuts. Therefore, we have to give one status to donuts. And therefore, the fact that they have the small ones at weddings is enough to aser even the big ones. This is a big chiddush because this question comes up all the time in terms of Bishul Akum. I'm going to give you another example again to start thinking about Bishul Akum shailas. Somebody once asked me, they had their babysitter cook macaroni for their young child. Okay? Problem is Bishul Akum. So they wanted to know if this was okay, and if it wasn't, did they have to kosher the pots? We'll talk about koshering later. So, macaroni. So some pastas are olal shochan malachim, right? They certainly are. Go to weddings again. Sometimes at wedding at the first course at the shmor, you'll see some types of pasta dishes that, you know, that fancy frying pan thingy where they make it for you. So pasta is. So I said, what type of pasta was it? So he said, elbow macaroni. Ah, oh, elbow macaroni. Whoever. That's not olal shochan malachim. And subsequently, I spoke to Rav Willig, and he agreed, elbow macaroni is eino olal shochan malachim. So Rav Willig was assuming that pasta is not one min. Each and every min we look at separately. And therefore, you know, the fancier types are, I don't know, all the Italian names that you can never pronounce are olal shochan malachim. But elbow noodles shouldn't be. Okay? According to, is the difference between small donuts and big donuts more significant than elbow and Ritoli?
Yeah, because it's the same thing, just smaller.
Ah, so maybe that's exactly what Schechter thinks. So that's, we're going to get back to that question. Something to think about. Where you draw the line here is really some cases clear and many cases ambiguous. And lots of the practical questions come up there, and the chiluk you're saying is a mistaber chiluk, so we'll think about that. Anyhow, then Rav Belsky said, no, another, I think that really nobody, like, whoever heard of donuts at a wedding? It's very, very unusual. LMI, some guy decided he was going to serve donuts at his wedding. Ad kedei kach, that they, like, laughed him off. Didn't work. So he had to shrink them in order to, like, make it that it's not, like, pressed to serve these at a wedding. So, if so, so we shouldn't go ahead and say that this very unusual situation is enough to aser all donuts. How could that be? The way he put it, kol ha'ochlem, ochlem. See, the interesting thing about these tshuvas is they have lots of back and forths, because Rav Schechter's there on Friday, so he writes his psakim, and then Rav Belsky comes in on Monday or Tuesday or something like that, and he makes his aros, and then Rav Schechter comes in on Friday and makes his aros. So you have lots of back and forths between each other. So Rav Belsky said, Ivra da donuts haktanim heim, osam davar kemo agdolim. So let's say you're right. Aval pukhazi kol ha'olam ochlem donuts rak kemachal arai, da da da. V'lo alsa biyado ad shashina tsuraso ve'echi tachin shebishvil zeh yishapik zug ha-ma'achal hanal b'sivas davar lo matzui v'ah, so that's what Belsky thought to be Mako. Rav Shechter initially was machmir, and then in the end Rav Shechter was moda. Shalachar ha'iyun tfei nirin divrei Rav Belsky de me'achar deruba shal hadonat enam olam l'shulchan malachim. So then kasha lomar shebeglal hamiyot she'eno matzoi hamugash b'shulchan ha'viyena shirak nis'afsher al yidei hashinui hatsura yishapich din harov li'chashiv ka'ol al shulchan malachim. Okay, so this would be relevant for your chasana, where at his chasana they served as a first course mashed potatoes with a potato chip inside of it, sticking out. So let's assume for a moment it's the same potato chip, right? We're going to hold like Rav Shechter that they basically went ahead. So it's the same shaila. They potato chips. Let's assume are enu olam al shulchan malachim. But at the Venetian, they decide to, they're going to serve, this is going to be their trademark dish, stick a big potato chip into the mashed potatoes, and now it's going to be fancy. So is that going to aser? So maybe you'll say, okay, big potato chips should be aser, and little potato chips should be mutter. But that's what they're saying now. We're not going to be mechalik between big and little potato chips. But Rav Shechter and Rav Belsky is saying, because one Meshuggah caterer decides to serve potato chips at a wedding, that's not going to asser now the rest of the potato chips for the rest of the world. So you could still buy your Utz potato chips, unless you're Choshish for Rav Moshe. But again, we'll get back to that when we do, Bishul Akum.
When do you turn from potato chip into a french fry?
We'll do that, Bishul Akum, Be'ezus Hashem. This is just a hakdama to get you excited.
Would that go as far as to allow the Venetian to actually open a bag of Hearst potato chips and just stick one in each dish?
Yeah. If it caught on. If it caught on, that would be like the Meshuggah that decided to serve mini donuts at the Viennese table. So, you know, if they started to do it at the Eden Palace, so then it would be another Shiloh. But as long as it's just Venetian, we're safe.
Regarding what Belsky said about you'd be Mako on the Bracha Shiloh.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm not holding the Hilchos Brachos, but I thought when it comes to Brachos HaMazon, we're always...
So it's a good question. Why wouldn't we say Safek Deraisa L'Chumra? The answer is that these things probably don't have a din of Pasta Raisa. And even when we're Koveya Suda Alav, where it's Pasta Rabbanan. Otherwise, there are a lot of other unanswerable questions that come up in Hilchos Brachos. What I said is a Chiddush, it's not Pashut. Bezos Hashem, when we learn Hilchos Brachos, we could return to that question. But for now, that's my answer. Another important application of the Shach is Cheerios. So we saw that the Shach said that to be considered Pas, you need Toar Lechem. Oh, so what about Cheerios? Do Cheerios have Toar Lechem? So, this is a very important Shaila. If you think that, assuming we paskin like the Shach, that you need Toar Lechem, so if you think Cheerios have Toar Lechem, so then, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, you would have to be Machmir. If you think that they don't have Toar Lechem, then they're going to be Aser the whole year long. Except if we say Cheerios are not Olal Shulchan Malachim. That's going to depend on how you define Shulchan Malachim, because let's imagine that Barack Obama eats Cheerios for breakfast. Is that considered Shulchan Malachim or not? Lamaisa, we say it's not. We say it has to be something that they would serve at a state dinner. They don't serve Cheerios at a state dinner. So therefore, if you think that Cheerios have Toar Lachem, so then it's going to turn out two chumras. A, you can't have them during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. B, if you really like Cheerios and you make a meal out of them, you'll have to bench. My father breaks his fasts on Cheerios. That's his minhag. So the question is, I don't know if he eats enough. Maybe he does it because he doesn't eat so much. But let's say you do. You're Koveya Suda on Cheerios. You have a shear. Would you have to bench? So as I said, this is a Machlokas HaPoskim. And according to the Sefer Vizos HaBracha in the Birur Halacha section on page 219. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Elyashiv do think it has Tohor Lachem, because it really is, you know, if it was just a little bigger, then we would say it's Tohor Lachem, right? What is it? It's like a cracker that's just small circular shape. So they held that it does have Tohor Lachem. On the other hand, Rav Willig and Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, who is quoted in Bezos HaBracha, say it does not have Tohor Lachem. So, as I said, according to Rav Willig, you could have your Cheerios during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and you also would not have to bench if you're Koveya Suda Alav. A similar question we mentioned earlier about small pretzels. At least Rav Schechter thinks that the small pretzels don't have Tohor Lachem also, therefore they could be okay during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Now, as you could gather from this discussion, if you're among the Mekilim, it's going to be hard to figure out parameters of how you define Tohor Lechem. For example, even Rav Schechter's Machmir for big pretzels, Kol Shekein, soft pretzels. That's what I said, that it's going to figuring out where to draw the line. What about sticks? What about medium-sized? You know, so I don't know. Even among the Machmirim, I would have said it's Pashut. In other words, anything, we don't care about shape. And therefore, if it's, you know, made from Mizonos and it's hard, it just happens to be small, that would be enough. Even that, though, isn't so Pashut, because apparently, even though I thought Rev Shlomo Zalman and Rev Elyashiv were both Machmir about Cheerios, they disagreed about flakes. So maybe even if Cheerios has Tohor Lachem, flakes don't. So this is a very interesting debate that practically figuring out what to do is not always so pashut.
Isn't the heart all the way through it? Doesn't that have to do Tohor Lachem?
Yeah, but we treat crackers as Yesh Bem Tohor Lachem. Crackers are hard all the way through, right? If you're Koveya Suda on crackers, you would make Hamotzi or Matzah, also hard all the way through. Okay, fine. Sif Zion, I think we could skip. We did that when we did Sif Gimel. Sif Ches, Yesh Misha Omer de Bemakom She'ein Palter Matzui Klal, Mutter Afilu Shel Balabatim. And the Rama adds, Ve'ein Sarch Lahamtin Al Pas Kasher, V'chein Noagin. So, as we noted already, the Shach Sif Katan Yud points out that Sif Ches is against Sif Beis. In Sif Beis, he paskened like the Rambam, that there's no makom lahakel ever for pas balabatim. And here, the Mechaber is bringing a Yesh Misha Omer that is makel for pas balabatim if ein palter matzui klal. So why didn't he bring the Yesh Omrim over there, or both opinions over here? Now, what's the makor for this? Maybe if we look at the makor, we'll see this isn't so pashat. Take a look at the Gra. Sif Katan Yud Zayin, the Gra cites that this is based off of the Dimyon to Demai. We know that a number of the Rishonim will perhaps expand on this in just a couple of minutes. Assume that we could extrapolate halachos of Pasakum from the halachos of Demai. For example, Tosfo says that you could be Makel in terms of Taroves for Pasakum Dumya to Demai. Why? Demai is a relatively lenient Isser Derabanan, because Rov Ame Haaretz Ma'asrim Heim, and therefore we have a number of Kulos that apply to Demai, and Tosfos thinks the same thing should apply to Pasakum. Whether that's only Pasakum or also Bishalakum is unclear from Tosfos. The Tos HaRash, as I mentioned, thinks it applies to all types of Machaleakum, so it would apply to Bishalakum as well. Tosfos may or may not agree, and we'll discuss this at length when we talk about the issue of Blios. But one way or the other, the Gra says, from the Dimyon to Demai, so we learn a number of halachos. For one thing, we learn that you don't need to be mamtin 3 days. Any time it would be very difficult to acquire Pas Yisrael, you could be Makel on Pas Balabais. Because if you think that the Takana of Pas Yisrael is modeled after was going to be no more machmir than demai. It's going to be lo gara from demai. So we know that an achsenai could be makel on demai, a traveler, or even an ani could be makel on demai, because of the difficulty in obtaining, because of the difficulty involved, they were makel. Now, why would we say this is like demai? Maybe because it's ein lo ikar min haTorah. When it comes to pas, maybe that relates to general kulos by pas. Unclear. We'll discuss this more at length. But that's the source for this halachic ruling. Why is it that the Mechaber says that makom she'ein palter klal, you could be makel? Just like for demai, we basically say you could be makel in under extenuating circumstances, like you're an ani or you're an ashir, but you're an achsenai, you're a traveler. So too, by pas akum, you could be makel. Oh. Now, if you say that, then perhaps be'etzem there's not a stira in the mechaber. In Sif Beis, he brought the Rambam that they were never matir pas balabayas. That's as opposed to pas palter, where the Rambam says that there were some who were makel when Pas Yisrael wasn't matzoi. Or if they were matir, they were only matir bedochak. Mashein Kain, in Sifches, he's saying that this is not because they were matir pas balabayas. This is because it's an Isser derabanan that's kal, and an Isser derabanan that are kal, dum yad l'dmai, you could be makel b'shas adchak. In other words, there are two separate issues. Sif Beis, the Rambam told us, and the Mechaber Paskind, that while there are those that hold that they rescinded or partially rescinded the prohibition on pas palter, nobody held that they rescinded or partially rescinded the prohibition on pas balabayas. So whatever was originally prohibited remains prohibited. When it comes to this heter of makom she'ein palter matzui klal, we're not saying that they rescinded this. We're just saying that this was never part of the Isser in the first place. Why? Because it's like demai. It's not like demai, they were, you know, they rescinded, they asur demai, and they rescinded the heter for aniyim and achsenayim. No. The pshat is they never made the Isser in the first place. So, if you say that, maybe there's not an inherent stira between Sif Beis and Sif Ches. Now, while I think that's logical, in light of the Gra, the Beis Yosef himself probably did not mean that. He probably did understand that Sif Beis and Sif Ches was a machlokas. If you look at the Beis Yosef, that's the implication. But again, at least conceptually, the way the Gra learns it, they're not inherently a stira. But again, B'dasa Beis Yosef, the Shach is probably correct that this is a machlokas, and you should see Sif Beis and Sif Ches as going together. Now, Hashadasas Lahachi, we talked a little bit about the Dimyonos to Demai, so I'll just mention some of the other Dimyonos that the Rishonim say in our Simen to Demai and their implications. So number one, the Mordechai says, V'chei matzasi shehiti Rabbeinu Shmarya pashel ovi kochavim l'mi sholich badarech. So that is this first halacha that we quoted, Sif Ches. Likewise, the Maharil says this, also quoted in the Beis Yosef. Number two, we mentioned already, Tosos and Lamed Hayamid Beis, Legabe Blios and Taroves. Number three, the Beis Yosef says, it's quoted in Sif Tezvav, B'shem de Maharil, B'shem Rabbeinu Simcha, Demutar Lechol Pashal Gai, Linizhar im She'enam Nizhar Mishameva, V'ayasel Mirushalmi de Demai, Dehitir Demai Kiagavna. So even someone who's Machmir and Pas Yisrael could be Mekel B'makom Eva if eating, insisting on the Pas Yisrael will cause them to stand out. So then they could be Mako. And the Beis Yosef points out this is only pasta, tzi'ikr suda. In other words, if you don't go ahead and, you know, eat one of the side dishes and a suda, then that won't necessarily lead to eva. But the bread, which is the primary aspect of most sudos, at least in those days, so if you were to not eat it, and some people say, oh, why aren't you eating the bread? Ah, you think you're so frum. You don't eat pasakum. So that's eva. And therefore, one could be makel. And again, the basis of this halacha is the dimyon to demai. I was once at a shul. The shul that I grew up in served, the rolls that were served for Shal HaShudas were not Pas Yisrael. So they were like hamburger rolls. So there was once a guest in our shul, and he asked me if there was some way to get Pas Yisrael, was there matzah or the like. So, you know, we went rummaging around in the shul kitchen. We did end up finding some matzah to give him. So he wasn't even makbid the whole week. He was only makbid on Shabbos because of Kavod Shabbos. But l'chora, one could argue that that wouldn't be correct because of Eva. Unless you say that the Kavod Shabbos dikka din isn't waived for Eva. It's only the general din. So that's something something to keep in mind, especially for those that are machmer. We'll return to that in Sif Tes Vav. Okay, Sif Tes. The Gemara in Lamed Ches, Amid Beis, says, Amar Avina Hilchasa Hai Rifta De Shagar Oved Kochavim Ve'afa Yisrael. Bread that the non-Jew lighted the oven. Inami Shagar Yisrael Va'afa Oved Kochavim, or the non-Jew, the Jew lighted the oven, lit the oven, but the Jew lit the oven, non-Jew put the bread into the oven. Inami Shagar Oved Kochavim Va'afa Oved Kochavim Va'asi Yisrael V'chata V'chituye, or the non-Jew both lit the oven, put the bread into the oven, but a Jew went and stoked the coals. Shapir Dami, this is okay. And the Rambam paskins this halacha in Perek Yud Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel, that there's no isser of pasakum as long as a Jew did one of these shalosh melachos. You'll see the Rishonim referring to the shalosh melachos bepas. The truth is that there were many Rishonim who had a girsa in the Gemara that used the word shalosh melachos. We don't have that girsa, but it doesn't really matter. One way or the other, there are three melachos that are referred to in the Gemara. Number one, again, turning on the oven, putting the bread in the oven, or stoking the coals. And if the Jew does any of these three things, the Rambam says, then it's not aser mishum pasakum anymore. That's what I would have thought is the simple meaning of the Gemara. Now the Rambam asks, v'afilu lo zarak ela eitz l'tocha tanur. Let's say you didn't stoke the coals mamish, but you just threw in a splinter, which obviously has a negligible effect on the entire cooking process. Says the Rambam, that too is okay. Kol ha-pashabo is mutter. She'en ha-davar ela lios heker she'apasha lehenosura. What does that mean? Presumably that means that by going ahead and throwing in this wood chip, by having to do something, even if the effect is negligible, you'll know that pasakum is aser, and that's enough to carry out the intention of the gzeira and minimize the chance of chasnas. The Rush, Simin Chaf Gimel, says that this leniency of the Rambam seems to go against the Gemara. He writes, Muchach bekula shmaitin deba'inan shihe Yisrael mekarif abishol v'tema amash nagua edna. If you look at the whole sugya, especially the Gemaras before then and afterwards, those Gemaras are talking about Bishalakum, but those Gemaras tell us that a Maisa Koldehu is insufficient, this type of negligible act that the Rambam is allowing. The Gemaras are pretty clear that you need something quite significant. So the Rambam is perplexing. Likewise, the Ramban on Lamed Hamed Beis rejects the Rambam. He writes that in chitui gechal and machshir elam if neshim esayeya harbe beafias apas shayde choman shal gechal. When the Gemara said you could stoke the coals, that's only because stoking the coals has a rather significant effect on the final product. And therefore, it's like the case that the Gemara said earlier, Meikara Bishal Betarti Shai Vahashta Bishal Bechadesha. Since if the Jew had not stoked the coals, it would have taken 2 hours to cook, and now that the Jew stokes the coals, it's going to only take 1 hour to cook. So that's why Chitui B'Gechalim works. But throwing in a wood chip, so that doesn't have any real tangible effect. And what you need, he says, is Maisav Shel Yisrael Nikarin Bepas. So he rejects the Rambam. Now, the Rashba is Miyashev the Rambam. It's in Torah Sabayis, Gimel Zion, and cited by the Beis Yosef. But he gives a slightly different reason for the leniency. It's not like the Rambam says that it's because of Hecker. Rather, even a small contribution makes a difference. Umistabra she'ein lecha kisem she'eino mosif b'chol matanur u'mekariv ha'bishol. Sounds like he's saying, I agree you need to be mekariv the bishol. Okay? So, who says you need mekara b'tarti shayi v'hashta b'chadasha? Mekara 2 hours, and now 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 58 seconds. You add in a little bit of more fuel, the fire will get a little bit hotter, and that will in fact make it cook a little bit quicker. Okay, who says it has to be a lot? So, this is a very different answer than the Rambam's. The Rambam's saying, seemingly, I don't really care that this is negligible. The whole purpose is to have a hecker, and this is a hecker. The Rashba is saying, I agree with the Rashba and Ramban's critique that you need something that makes a difference. But every, you know, like your teacher always says, every small amount makes a difference. So every small amount, all additional fuel, will make a difference. We paskin like the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, as you see over here. What's interesting is that the Rambam applies this leniency only to pas, not to bishul. And that's the view of the Mechaber. The Ramah paskins this kula of the Rambam even by bishul, which is quite remarkable. And when we get to bishul akum, we'll have to figure out why that makes sense. Now, the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam's lashon. Sounds like we hold that the Rambam's reason is correct, that it really depends on Hecker. And perhaps that's why the Ramah writes in Darke Moshe Yud Aleph, Shafilu Hotzi Apas, Lachziru Al Yidei Yisrael Shenis Betanur, is Mutter Imhu Mashpiach. And the Ramah writes, that's from the Shari Dura, and the Ramah writes, since the Rambam said all you need is a hecker kaldehu, so let's say the non-Jew already took this bread out of the oven. It was already fully baked with no Jewish participation. But if you put it in the oven for another couple of minutes, it would probably get even a little bit better. It was fully cooked, but got even a little better. So we're makel on that. Why? Because the Ramah writes, D'day Beheker Kaldu. So that's the view of the Rambam. Oh. As we said, the Rashba gives a different kula. It's possible he would agree in that case, but he doesn't say that kula is because of Hecker. It's rather because of you add something. So l'chora nafkamina between the Rashba and the Rambam's tam would be something like the famous light bulb kula. What's the light bulb kula? This was, I think, invented by Rabbi Heinemann. And the light bulb kula is that you could go ahead and you have the Jewish mashgiach turn on a incandescent light bulb in the oven. Now, incandescent light bulbs are mosif heat, right? If you get close to an incandescent light bulb, or certainly if you touch it, you will feel that, in fact, they're very, very hot. So that's like being mashlach kisem. It adds a little bit of heat. And therefore, you have the Jew turn on the light bulb, and that's going to be okay. And that's going to be very convenient, because you use this oven, and the oven goes on and off, every day. And this is a factory that's in Yehopetzville, so the Jewish Mashgiach is only visiting once every couple of months. But he turns on the light bulb at the beginning of the year, and the light bulb could stay on the whole year long. And then every time they turn on the oven, off the oven, on the oven, off the oven, it's still going to be Bishul Yisrael, or Pas Yisrael, because a Jew was Mashlach Kisev. He added a little bit of heat. The problem is that our ovens all work on, based off of thermostats, right? It's not like the Rashba's Kula makes sense here. Because what did the Rashba say? If you go ahead and you throw in a toothpick, so it's going to be Mimaher the Bishul. So we said, instead of being cooked in 2 hours, it's cooked in 1 hour, 59 minutes, 59 seconds. So here, it's still going to be cooked in 2 hours, because it's true. So because there's a light bulb on in the oven, there'll need to be a little less fuel from the gas, and the light bulb will contribute. But in the end of the day, you're not in any way Mimaher the Bishul. The Chafkei, apparently, I think that Starkei might not rely on the light bulb anymore. And the OU is very opposed to it. We'll talk more about that when we get to Bishul Akum. I think the Chafkei uses similar things. They use glow plugs. Similar idea, seemingly. So, l'chora, this question would depend on whether you hold like the Rambam or the Rashba. If you think the Kula is based off of the Rambam, so you could say, okay, there's still a Hecker here. It's like Mashlach Kisei. If you think it's based off of the Rashba, so then it's hard to understand why it should be mutter, because l'maisa, even if you are mar b'chom, you're not m'maher bishul. Now there's another more fancy application way to reject this kula, which is because the flames are not integrated. Maybe we'll reconsider that when we get to bishul akum. But that's perhaps enough gemina. Another thing that the Rama writes on our sif is it says, v'imnafach be'esh have kechitoy. The Rambam and the Gemara said that you're allowed to stoke the coals. Now, there's another way to affect the same type of thing as stoking the coals, which is to blow into the fire, into the coals, and that invigorates the coals as they're exposed to more oxygen. And that's also enough. You don't actually have to add fuel. So l'chora, I would have said that this is like the Rashba said, now it's going to cook quicker, or like the Rambam, that it's a hecker. That's what I would have said. So I would have said, you don't need a mekor for this. Take a look at the Gra, Sifkat Yotes, though. He writes, like we say in Bava Kama, Yudches on the base, Tarnagol, the Chulei. And this source is really based off of the Maharil, Simen Kuf Tzadi Gimel, who says the same thing. Now, what does that have to do with this? So what they're trying to show is that Neficha is considered Maisav. And in the laws of Nezikin, we consider your blowing as your Maisa. And therefore, if blowing something causes damage, you're Chayev for Nezikin. And likewise, this is Mimar the Bishul, you might have thought is not a Maisa Yehudi. You might have thought that, okay, of course it's Mimar the Bishul. But that is not associated with you. And that's why the Maharil and the Gra prove from Maseches Bava Kama that no, we see blowing is considered your Maisa, and Mimela, it's going to be like Hashlachas Kisem, and therefore it's going to work. Now, if that's true, so if a Jew told the non-Jew to throw in the woodship, right? So that wouldn't work, because that's not your Maisa, even though we don't say, oh, you were, in fact, Mimaher the Bishul, right? In other words, you need to be the cause, the direct cause of being, of this Mimaher HaBishul, and for that, we could look to other Tchumim of Halacha, like Nezikin, to figure out what makes you considered the direct cause. Now, this is going to have a very interesting application when it comes to such things. We'll return to this of Bishul Akum, such as timers. Let's say this is very common both in homes as well as in factory settings. If you have an oven, go on a timer. So is that Bishul Yisrael? That's a question, A, for the first day. And even if you say the first day, it would be. What about if you have this timer going on for a whole year? The second day and the third day, would that also be considered Maisav? In other words, from the Dimyon to Bava Kama, it sounds like we're going to need this to be considered your maisim in Bava Kamma. Or at the very least, if we could show that it is your maisim in Bava Kamma, you'd be chai for Nezikin, so then it would be considered Rishul Yisrael. So, Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva is learning Sanhedrin this year. So this is a sugya that you're all aware of. What is considered your maisa for Nezikin, for Shabbos clocks, this, that, all sorts of other things. It allows us to broaden our discussions of Bishul Akum, and we could probably spend months figuring out this question. So we're not going to do that. Maybe we'll talk about it again when we do Bishul Akum, but Lahayir, this halacha brings up a very interesting question. Yeah.
What about the shadow that, like, isn't there some companies that want to have, like, someone call up every day? Like,
similar question, calling up. Calling up is a little better because it's direct. But yeah, that would be the same shiloh. Would we consider that your action? But as I said, I think calling up directly would be much more makel. You could make the argument that there, since here it's basically only almost an immediate cause. So it's true when I call up, electrically, if you asked an engineer, there are 20 steps between my pressing the code on the telephone and the oven in Wisconsin turning on. I'm in New York, the oven's in Wisconsin, I press the buttons. But when you press the switch, your button on your oven also, there might be 10 switches. This, by the way, is mamish halach l'maisa kol yom, because you can have, many ovens now have apps that allow you to turn on your oven from your phone. So this is the wave of the future. So this could be a great chop. You could go ahead and even if a person has a non-Jewish maid and the non-Jewish maid prepares the food, let's assume that you can somehow verify all kashrus concerns and puts it into the oven, and then she'll call you up and say, okay, now use your app to turn on the oven, and now my oven's on. So is that Bishul Yisrael? Pashta says it should be. Let's assume that you could get rid of all credibility issues, but I think that wouldn't be so hard. It's very funny, but I saw a quote in Mishpacha magazine last week on this topic, but in a non-halachic context, and it quoted some rabbi saying, "Ein lecha bishul akum gadol mizeh," which I assume meant that an iPhone is akum. And therefore, this is like
the problem. Your oven's connected to the internet.
Ultimate. Oh, maybe that's what it meant. Anything that goes to the internet, by definition, is Bishul Akum.
Would it be cool if you just turn on the main gas line?
At the beginning.
I mean, every building has one.
But there's no fire.
But
we're not going to say that if you... Yeah, that's going too far. That's like saying, I built the oven. So if a Jew built the oven, then everything cooked in this oven will be henceforward Bishul Yisrael, because without the Jew's contribution, you wouldn't have an oven, and then you wouldn't have cooked food. Right? So... yeah.
There was already a fire. If there was already a fire, and you put a piece of wood in, that's fine. But if there's no fire yet, then you don't have a chance either, right?
Mm-hmm. So I think that far we wouldn't go. Okay, Sif Yud. Im afu betanur al yidei ove kochavim gimel pa'amim biyom echad v'chshiru hatanur al yidei kisim b'veis pa'amim u'pam ha'shlishes l'chshiru mutter. This is the view of the Mechaber, and it's pretty easy to understand. L'chor the pshat is that I cooked in this oven, a Jew turned it on at 8 a.m. And then he turned it on again at 1 p.m. And then at 3 p.m., the baked in the oven for the third time, but this time the Jew forgot to light it or to turn it on, but there'll be some remaining heat from the first two times, and that's going to be like hashlachas kisem, meaning to say there's a small contribution to the heat in the third cooking that comes from a Jew. Maishna, he throws in a wood chip during. This is mosif chom as well, and since any time we could say that there's Tosef Eschom al Yidei Yisrael, then it would have the status of Bishul Yisrael. That's the Mechaber. This is based off of Mordechai. Then the Beis Yosef says, in the name of the Agur, that Im Hityel HaYisrael Kisem, that works for the whole week until Sunday. And the Beis Yosef says, well, that's a Kula Yisei Rasa. But Darkei Moshe, O Zion, says, no, maybe It's true because it wasn't omed yom shalem below hesek, as the kesef as the iser v'heter writes. What does that mean? So the only time your oven rests for 24 hours without any usage is on Shabbos, because you can't use your oven on Shabbos, unless you do, but let's assume you don't. Right? So every morning, a Jew has eggs for breakfast that he cooks in the oven, and then he leaves it off. So it's on for an hour every day. So even though the Jew only lit it on the first day, but some chom remained from day one to day two, and then memela from day two to day three, and day three to day four. And therefore, even though the Jewish contribution was Sunday morning, but that's going to keep you going all the way till Friday. We'll see this is a little bit similar to Eish Me Eish, for where the Ramah is also Mekel for Bishul Yisrael. That's the famous pilot light heter. The Jew lit a fire, and then a non-Jew lit a fire from the Jew's fire, it's okay. So here too, the lighting of the Jew on Sunday keeps you going all the way till Friday. But on Shabbos, there's 24 hours, you don't use the oven, so any heat that might be retained in the oven is lost over the 24-hour duration when it's not used, and therefore you'd have to have the Jew do it again. And that's what the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch. V'yesh omrim demhichshir atanur pam echad v'lo amar atanur me'es le'es v'lo hesek afilu afo bo kach kama yamim hakol mutar mikoach hechshir arishon v'yesh lismoch al zeh. Take a look at the Gras, Sifkat and Chaf Aleph. He writes, exactly as we said, this is based off of the presumption that some heat remains. Heat from the oven usage will remain for 23 hours, but once it comes to 24 hours, we can no longer assume that there's any heat that is retained from the previous usage. Now, if that's true, one can make the argument, as the Chelkas Binyamin Sifkatan Tzadi Zayin does, that perhaps this does not work for our ovens anymore. Those ovens were made out of cheres or stone. They had thick walls. While they were used, they reached very high levels of temperature with the fuel coals remaining inside of them afterwards. And therefore, one could reasonably say that for up to 24 hours following usage, they retain some amount of heat. But our ovens, assuming you don't have a pilot light oven, so if you put your hand in the oven 2, 3, 4 hours after it's used, it's hard to imagine that it will be any different than room temperature. And therefore, it's hard to be mako, unless, again, you know that the temperature has somehow been retained. Yeah?
The more you say, not like the base of safe, like this sort of just hekar pa'amla, directly people are more likely to create chomer in these cases where it's been a week since the Jew has actually touched the oven, the God doesn't even remember him even touching it.
In theory, you could make that case, but the Ramah doesn't. The Ramah seems to assume that knowing that I need the Jew to light this oven or be responsible for the fuel in the oven, the heat in the oven to some degree or the like is sufficient hekar to allow it to be permitted. Now, we'll talk about that very question in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel when we're discussing machlokas between the Shach and the Ramah about whether the chataya begachalim that the Jew does has to be with any awareness that he's being mati or bishul or not. That's where I think that question comes up. And what's interesting is the Ramah and the Shach take different opinions than you'd expect. So, well, we'll turn to that question, Beli Nader in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. If you look at Shach over here, Sifkat and Chaf, he writes something very important. Im hu mesupak im hechshir Yisrael hatanur olo shari daves feka derabanan lekula. Since we're dealing with an Isid Rabbanan, we could say Safek Rabbanan Lakula. Let's say A person, again, has a maid in their house, and you're always very careful to turn on the fire for the maid, or if she turns on the fire, to remove it, the pot for the fire and put it back, or the like. And as is likely to happen, you might forget. Oh, no. No, the food's been made. I can't remember. Did I go ahead and turn on the fire this time or not? So, based off of the shach, presumably one could be makel. We would say safek de rabbanan l'kula. This is a bit of a chiddush because you might have thought there's a cheskas iser until you know the Jew did it. She'll say no. Still a safek. What about if it was already reached machal ben drusai, and then you're misafek if you if the Israel did something? Then you think for sure there's a cheskas iser. Maybe not. So this question we'll return to because it comes back again in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel. There's some rayos, but something to think about over here. Even though we do definitely say safek d'rabbanan l'kula, what will the parameters be for safek d'rabbanan l'kula, and how will that interact in a practical way with the general assumption that when there's a cheskas iser, we don't say safek d'rabbanan l'kula? So we'll return to that question. Sif Yud Aleph. So Sif Yud Aleph, I guess we are not going to finish now, but we should introduce it. This gets back to the question of Hisik Yisrael Es HaTanur, and maybe we'll just briefly introduce the issue, but we'll have to finish it on Sunday, Be'ezras Hashem. So we mentioned before the Gemara in Lamed Chesem and Beis says that there are shalosh melachos that if a Jew does with the pas is mutter. And earlier we cited the view of the Rambam, which I would have thought is the pashtus of the Gemara, which is that the Gemara is telling you a heter with respect to pasakum. It's pasakum unless a Jew has some role in the baking of the bread, and that role could be turning on the oven, or it could be stoking the coals, but he has to have some role in the baking, and if he does, then it has the din of pas Yisrael, and otherwise it has the din of pasakum. Now one limitation on that reading is that if you might have noticed, that discussion is not in the Pasakum Sugya, it's in the Bishalakum Sugya. That might be why you didn't notice it. I said, oh, Pasakum is very easy. There's only like 8 lines of Gemara, and that's it. Wait, what about this? According to the Rambam, there's 8 lines, and then you skip a couple daf, and then there's another 4 lines, right in the middle of nowhere. Okay, maybe, in the Chanami, that is sometimes the Derech of Talmud Bavli, but maybe that tells us that this is not a heter in the realm of Pasakum, rather it's a heter in the realm of Bishalakum. And that's going to be the view of the Ran and others. Now, one second. Bishalakum, we're talking about bread. How could you have Bishalakum on Pas? Bishalakum is an Isser on Shlakos. So this leads to a fascinating chiddush of the Ran and others. The Ran says that, well, I'll tell you what. When you have bread that is owned by a Jew, or the dough is made by a Jew, or the like, then it's not a shailah pasakum, because a Jew... the Jew is responsible for the making of the bread. We'll have to define making. Rather, what type of bread? So it's not a pasakum shaila, but there's still an issue of bishalakum on this bread. And the Gemara is saying, oh, you want to solve the problem of bishalakum on the bread? Well, to solve that problem, you need shalosh melachos. So shalosh melachos is a kula in bishalakum, in shlakos. Shlakos on bread, but still shlakos. That's the view of the Ran. If you notice, the tour right at the very beginning seems to adopt this reading without telling you so much, but that's what the Beis Yosef points out, that this, there's something. Now, this relates to the question that we introduced a couple of days ago, and we're not going to get into it so much, but the question of whether Bishol is Kolel Pas or not. If you remember, we said this was a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. You see, if you think that Bishol includes Pas, so then, you could say that there's an Isser of Bishalakum on Pas as well, which would need to be solved somehow, and could be solved through Shalosh Melachos. But if you think that Pas and Bishal are two totally separate things, and you've solved the problem of pas akum because a Jew needed the dough, let's say, so then there will be no problem of bishul akum, because bishul akum was only instituted in things that are subject to bishul, and afia is nothing to do with bishul. So the Ran's possibility rests upon the Ramban's understanding that it is shayach to have pas bichlal bishul, and then you have to figure out, does that actually exist or not? So Be'ezras Hashem, that's what we'll start off on Sunday. And again, when did we say we're going to meet? 11:45 in the Ezras Nashim on Sunday, B'li Neder.